As I hope we all recall, since it wasn't that long ago, today's parasha began with the word tamid. It focused on the mitzvah of the ner tamid, of keeping that light burning, of lighting it each and every evening. You know, it's usually translated as the eternal light, but frankly, the word tamid in Hebrew doesn't always mean all the time. It can mean periodically, regularly. The light was lit every evening. It went out in the morning. It was lit again in the evening. But, I don't know, the term regular light just doesn't have the same ring as eternal light. So I think we'll stick to that as its translation. That word tamid, we may recall, also appeared at the end of today's Torah portion, when we were told that Aaron, whenever he would go out, would have the breastplate on him, tamid, all the time. By the way, I hope people did notice the 12 tiles there with the 12 different colors, and I hope you've memorized them so that you can associate them with the various precious stones. And there's yet another place in today's Torah portion where the word tamid appears, and that is just a little bit beyond where we were reading today, talking about how in the days of the tabernacle, it was a mitzvah each and every day to take two lambs, to offer one lamb as an offering in the morning. That was the olat hatamid at shachar in the morning, and then in the evening, just as the sun was setting, to offer another offering of this kind, another lamb in the evening, and that was the second olat hatamid. Interestingly enough, what we today call the Shacharit service corresponds to the early morning offering of that lamb each and every day, and in the late afternoon, the Mincha service corresponds to that lamb that was offered each and every day in the afternoon. We today offer prayers instead of burnt offerings, but the notion is somehow we're preserving that sense of time. In the Midrash, this verse, the verse that I just mentioned that talks about the mitzvah of offering a lamb in the morning and offering a lamb in the evening, tamid, doing it regularly, it figures in a curious midrash, a curious midrash. There's a discussion in the midrash, and the discussion is a pretty important one if you think about it. You know, the rabbis who are discussing are asking the question, what's the most important, the most religiously all-encompassing verse in the Bible? You know, what is the verse that we should focus on really in guiding and shaping our spiritual behavior? Well, so there are three answers that are given in this particular version of the Midrash. These are the answers of Ben Zoma, Ben Nanas, and Ben Pazi. So let's look at them one by one. So Ben Zoma's answer is one which probably occurred to many people here. He says the most important spiritually uplifting and inspiring verse that should be the focus of our attention is, of course, the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. He says that's the verse, that's the one. So along comes Ben Nanas and says, No, I don't agree. I think the most important verse, the one that we should be focusing on when we think about shaping our behavior, is love thy neighbor as thyself. Not love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, but love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the verse that really should be, you know, in our consciousness at all times. Okay, look, you can't beat that verse for a, you know, an all-around feel-good biblical verse. But then came along Ben Pazi, Shimon Ben Pazi, a third sage, and he says, no. What's the most important verse in the Bible? What's the verse that we should be focusing on as we think about moving through our day with an enlightened spiritual consciousness? It's the verse that I just mentioned, the one that comes toward the end of today's parsha that says, every day you should offer the tamid offering, once in the morning and once in the evening. Now, what's that all about? I mean, that seems like a real downer, if you think about it. I mean, could it have to do with the fact that giving an offering to God is seen as supreme in importance and supreme in its holiness? Well, it could be, but the fact is there are a lot of other offerings that the Torah talks about, and Ben Pazi didn't talk about those. There are offerings to be made on Shabbat and on holidays, offerings to be made when good things happen to you, and offerings to be made when you're feeling guilty, offerings to be made out of the goodness of your heart. There are lots and lots of offerings, but he didn't focus on those. He focused on this one. What is so special about this one? Well, the answer is given by the famous Maharal of Prague, the famous Rabbi Löw of Prague. He says the following. He says, what we learn from this notion that we should offer each and every day in the morning, tamid, each and every day we should offer an offering in the morning and an offering in the late afternoon, is we learn the importance of consistent commitment and constant engagement. This offering is important because it's offered every day. And that's what makes it different. And that's what makes it special. And that's what gives it its powerful symbolic force. It symbolizes an unwavering consistency of devotion. Think about it for a moment. Consistency. Constancy. They don't quite have the ring of words like inspiring, spontaneous, passionate. Why then are they so important? What's it all about? And what does Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi really mean when he says that this is of supreme importance? I think what he's getting at is this. As human beings, we are rather fickle. Feelings can come and go. They can ebb and flow. It's natural. Even feelings like love. Love of God, or love of our fellow human being. We might be interested in one thing one day and another thing another day. That's what it means to be a human being. But certain things require a constant, consistent sense of responsibility. Human relationships, for example. If you're a mom or a dad, it isn't enough to put breakfast on the table for your kids today and then forget about doing it tomorrow because you're tired. It's not enough to drop kids off at soccer, for example, and then forget to pick them up because you're distracted, even though we might be tempted to do that sometimes. Just think, what if someone said to you, you can count on me most of the time, or I've got your back, unless I don't. Responsibilities that pertain to relationships are ongoing. They have to be. They have to be tamid. They have to be ongoing, or else they don't mean very much. And frankly, this is true in general of our ethical responsibilities. What if someone told you, quite often I'm very, very honest? You would wonder if they're being honest at that moment. What if someone says, I can be trusted most of the time? You get the idea. By the way, the same is true of our ritual responsibilities. You know, it's a wonderful thing to get into observance by testing the waters, by trying, for example, as some of us did last Sunday morning, to put on tefillin, to try to see what it feels like, to try to keep kosher, for example, for a week, as I often suggest when I'm working with people who are learning about Judaism, prospective converts to Judaism, people who've been raised as Jews but haven't embraced that mitzvah. But you know, there is a difference between occasionally eating a kosher meal and keeping kosher. We all know the difference between occasionally being faithful to our spouses, or occasionally being honest in our business dealings, or occasionally being honest in other ways, and being committed to doing those things. Being committed is something a little bit different from all of those. Actually, interestingly and ironically, it can be easier. I remember years ago, before I was fully committed to observance, it wasn't easy for me to be free on Friday night or on Shabbat. I wanted to observe Shabbat, but every week I felt a pull. I felt a sense of a conflict. And I remember when I, a number of years ago, when I graduated from law school and I was about to begin my first job as a lawyer in a downtown firm, I realized it was a moment of truth. I realized that if it wasn't a commitment for me to be home on Friday nights, I was never going to be home on Friday nights. And the same thing went for Shabbat. If I came into the office once on a Shabbos morning, I'd be coming into the office frequently on Shabbos mornings. And so I told my firm that I was actually committed to Shabbat observance. And it wasn't something I was just interested in doing or interested in exploring. It was something I was committed to doing. And I remember, it was quite surprising to me, but it was so much easier than I had anticipated. Once I made the point that it was a commitment of mine, no one questioned me on it. In fact, people shooed me out of the office on Friday afternoons. Of course, I worked every Sunday, but that's another thing. Commitments, in fact, have costs associated with them, and we have to be prepared to pay those costs. But making the commitment, rather than just expressing an interest, made it, for me, a much more wholesome experience than it might otherwise have been. Now, by the way, when we talk about embracing observance, certainly I and many people usually talk about the idea of trying it. See what it's like. Try refraining from non-kosher food. Try observing Shabbat. Try coming to shul. And it's for good reason. Let's face it. If it's foreign to you, it can take a while to get used to it. But for those who have tried it, my message tends to be a little different. It tends to be try doing it regularly. If you're beginning to come to shul and Shabbat, try making that a regular practice, maybe once a month, and then moving it up to every other week, then moving it up to every week. But it's funny, you know, when it comes to ethical mitzvot, we don't ever suggest to people that they just do them occasionally, do we? You know, we would never say, well, you know, try being honest once in a while. See what it feels like. And the reason, of course, is that when it comes to character, we know that we're necessarily thinking about consistency, constancy, and commitment. And if ritual behavior doesn't implicate character, what does? Religious behavior is or should be like learning a language, even learning a sport. It involves habitual behavior that reinforces itself. My advice is very, very simple. Yes, Ben Zoma knew what he was talking about, and that's why we say the Shema twice a day, let's face it. Loving God with all our heart, soul, and might is what we should be striving for. And of course, Ben Nanas was also right. Loving our neighbors as ourselves, I mean, who'd want to live any other way? But I think Ben Pazi also has something important to teach us. And maybe it's the lesson that we learn from davening in a place which has a Ner Tamid over the Ark. Namely, if we want to be fully attuned religiously, if we want to be fully attuned spiritually, if we want to be all of a piece, we should strive to reinforce our attachments, whatever they might be. We should strive to reinforce our character through consistent, committed behavior. Let's focus, all of us, on the meaning and the practice of the word Tamid. Shabbat Shalom.